How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good. Thank you.
How are
Wait,
you?
Why am I thanking you?
I don't know. No, my week has been pretty all right, full of research, especially with the upcoming Sabbat we're going to do our little little special on coming
yeah.
up. Other than that, it's a regular week. I heard that you had a pretty rotten time, though.
My fingernail fell off this week.
Are you serious? It's really not bad, but you know, sometimes they fall off and they never come back.
No, it's already like, well, here's the deal. Okay, you know what? I'll explain that when I get to that day of the week. So anyway, Monday, you know what happened Monday. Hard day at work, and I love my job. But it was just one of those days to where nothing you do goes right. Like, I mean, it's like there's a roadblock and everything, and you'll find a solution, you'll get so excited, and then the cosmos are just like, ha-ha! And it was just like that all day, and it was so just, ugh. So I get in my car, and I turn it on, and I start backing up, and I hear, like, this weird noise, and I just shut my eyes because I knew in my heart of hearts what it was. And it was from our trip to Shreveport. It had been a full week. Trey could have done this on any other day. But no, no. It waits until the end of this horrible day. And I get in my car, shut the door, turn the key. And I look back and, like, the whole ceiling, everything is just exploded with Coke. The biggest just slap in the face is that the only other thing back there was a Sprite. And that one.
And it could have been could a have Sprite.
Gone, and it would have been clear.
You wouldn't have done shit for that.
Tuesday, I go to the gym in the morning. And, you know, I've been dealing with this belly button piercing, and it's just been the bane of my existence ever since I got it on May 8th. And I just, it's not healing. It's just horrible, and I hate it. And so, anyway.
She is the most animated I have ever seen
her. Oh, this week. And so, I'm at the gym, and I'm doing, like, a Russian twist. You twist side to side, and I use a plate. And I feel the sharpest pain in my life. And I look down, and the top ball has come unscrewed, and it's bleeding everywhere.
Oh.
And I've had it for almost 3 months. And so, it's like all of the work that had been done, it's bleeding again. And, like, the ball, and I happened to find it. So I have to take it to the bathroom, and I pull it out, which still sucks, and wash it, and I put it back in. I'm like, this will be fine, you know, whatever. But I was pissed about it. So really, that was Tuesday. So not the worst day in the world. But
not really fucking good, either.
No, I mean, it could have not happened to me.
Sure.
You know?
But why would it not happen?
But I forgot to mention that, like, all of this really starts with my wallet getting stolen. That was on June 30th.
Because that was in our last episode.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
Yeah. So, no, it was after June 30th. It was just whatever it was. It was, like, last week. Oh, God. Okay. And so then... Wednesday, I go to the gym, and I'm doing reps, and my fingernail pretty much just pops off. So before people think that I'm just a garbage person, I shut it in the door 2 months ago. Then, fast forward to today, my belly button ring came unscrewed again.
Oh.
And so I look down, and now the ball is nowhere to be found.
Oh, well, were you bleeding this time?
Yeah, it was pissed off.
Well,
so,
I was going to say, at least you weren't bleeding.
It had just been, like, ripped out the day before. Put another one in. Like, I had a spare one. And at work, I'm taking product photos. And I've been, like, up and down and on my knees, and it hurts. So I took it out. It's out. I don't have it anymore. I'm over it.
You're just going to let it go?
Yes, I'm tired of it.
Okay.
So I'm back to, I just don't think I'm a piercings person. the moment I took it out, I honestly could, like, almost envision this black spirit leaving my body.
This demon just wiggled its way out.
I feel like it did. Like, oh my God. I feel liberated. But then, of course, to fit the rest of the week, you got here, and then my soda exploded.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking about our traditions, twice. Is twice a tradition? I don't know.
It is now.
I will bring...
I've had Pichos, I think, 70% of the time.
Pichos and vanilla Coke to me.
Yeah, this is, the only time, like, I can, like, I drink a soda and it's worth it.
I feel so sad because, like, your eyes lit up and you were like, is that for me? And, like, you went for it so excitedly. And you just, like, ripped the top off and it just exploded everywhere.
That's my week.
I've never seen somebody go so from so happy to just devastated.
Because, and, like, any normal situation and be like, oh, whoops, but no, it's just like, oh.
After, like, this buildup of this
of
week.
Course.
Like, of course. Why fucking not?
I'm just happy to be recording.
I've been looking looking forward to recording. I really am very excited about our topics today.
I am too.
I'm doing a listener request topic. So that's extremely, extremely exciting for me today. Do you pronounce the underscores in Instagram names?
Yeah, how would you know how to find them if you didn't say underscore?
I don't know, but I feel incredibly old, like, no, not knowing these things. All right, so today's topic was a listener request from the underscore witchy underscore type. No, so the witchy type left a comment, and it was very sweet. It's on Instagram about one of our recent episodes. And she says, "You two are hilarious." And
yeah,
then
we
think we are. She says, "By the way, I wish you'd do an episode about energy vampires. Not so much the obvious ones who knowingly manipulate and gaslight, but the unintentional vampires. The ones who drain with intensity and overreaction.
Oh, yeah.
But who are also basically good people that you could easily avoid." She thinks that those are the most difficult type to manage.
True.
And then she says, "Anyway, love what you're doing." Well, we love what you're doing.
And that's a really cool topic.
And she's so sweet, too. I wrote her, and I was like, "Can I read this?" And she's like, "Yes, of course." So, so today I told her that after our spooky episode and after our Sage and Sweetgrass episode, we had an energy vampire episode for your ass.
Yeah. And here it is.
Here it is.
I'm going to be talking about red calcite. It's the first stone that ever jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually wearing it right now.
You're wearing
it
today.
It's very special to me.
Oh, yeah. We both have our Kyler Jewelry.
And it came,
shout out to Kyler Jewelry.
Well, and this one really came out to me, and I wasn't aware, like, you know how so often with these things you gravitate towards something and you don't know why until you research it. And when I learned about it, it really made sense. A lot of time has passed now since then, and I kind of sat and reflected on it and realized that a lot of what has been done, you know, after getting the stone are very strong characteristics of the stone. Which is really interesting to me.
Mm.
You know, like, there was some sort of an influence there. Because, and I you won't believe it, Charlie, I actually have notes today.
Oh, my shit!
I have notes. I never do this. I'm not pulling this out of my ass.
No, you have your big, beautiful
book of
shadows, though.
I have my book of shadows, yeah. And so I thought, you know what, that's what I'll do every week, is that I'll actually take really nice, neat notes, and that's how I'll build out my, like, book of knowledge.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. It won't have an order to it at all, but I don't care.
Yeah.
But I have notes, and so I'm going to be talking about that, and I'm really excited about it.
So does the red calcite help with some energy vampire stuff?
It does, yeah. It's really neat. So I'm excited to, one, to hear that portion, because I think many of us have run into this type of thing, and sometimes unconsciously been one ourselves. I think depending on what state of your life you're in or what state of mind, you know, sometimes it takes a conscious effort to be like, stop this, you know, get positive.
Right.
You know, and so that's why I'm excited to hear about this. I think it'll be interesting.
I'm also excited that she specifically wanted to know about the energy vampires that aren't
the silent ones.
Yeah. They're not necessarily like the malignant ones that are out to, and they're very purposefully doing what they're what they're doing, which I'll touch on. But the ones that we encounter day to day, and sometimes we can even encounter somebody like this and not speak a word between the two of you. You can just feel it.
You know.
And that was something I came into contact a lot with when I was doing massage therapy.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, actually touching and feeling skin.
Feeling and being so close to people. There were certain clients who were the sweetest people. They would be the nicest people. You know, you would have enjoyable conversations with them and just really great clients all around, but man, after they left, your palms are burning and you're just like, you want to go and like have a little cry in the bathroom, you know, or you just feel like, I remember a guy that I would feel so guilty about because he, again, nicest dude. And when he would leave, I would just feel gross.
Yeah.
For
like
some
you
reason.
Took all that in.
It was something, just a gross energy, and you had to go shake it out, you know? So yeah, no, I'm really excited to dive into that.
Have you ever noticed, and this is off topic, but I was thinking about it a few days this week. This is actually the first time I've been in the Zen room all week.
Really?
Do you ever have some weeks that you just feel so disconnected, you know, and working, and sometimes you just get home from work and all you want to do is not think about learning.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've realized today, when we walked in here, I was like, I haven't been in here all week. Like, mm-hmm. that's the problem. Like, you know, it's just like, I need to slow down. And
that's how I'll feel about it. To be honest with you, partially because in the summer months, I lose a lot of interest for anything.
Okay.
I've said it before, I want to put my head down and just kind of get through it again. And even little side projects, or like if I want to learn to play instruments, something like that, like I just lose all of that drive.
Good thing we started a podcast in the summer.
That's right. And I got to where I felt bad because there were some points that like, I would get done doing whatever I had to do for the day and the scheduled time for sitting down and, mm-hmm. and journaling in my grimoire and like mm-hmm. picking out topics and thinking about podcasts. And the first thing that came to mind was, I don't want to do that shit. I was like, I don't want to fucking do this right
now.
Yeah,
I know.
And it's not that I don't love the pod. We're putting so much into the podcast.
It feels like work. It feels like,
yeah. And that's the thing. It is work.
Yeah.
You know, because no, we don't get paid yet.
please
somebody pay us. But it is work. It's a lot of editing and doing research, and our old throw out comment is we're amateurs, so that's all the harder to put shit mm-hmm. together. So I went through this spell of just like, and it was scary for a second. It was like, am I not a real witch? Exactly.
It makes you feel worthless.
I was like, I'm like, not a witch anymore.
That's how I feel. And like, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, I want to do like a PSA about this to like let anyone listening who also has gone through this. Mm. It's normal. Like,
absolutely.
Because I want to be the perfect witch, and I think that I'm really bad at it.
And well, like, I have connected so much with those like silly memes, like all over Instagram.
I love them.
Like, what was yours? To rid negative spirits.
Just lay on the floor and scream.
Yeah. What's really great is after all of that and kind of sticking with it, it's coming back. Back for me.
I think what I'm gonna do is I've allotted this weekend to reconnect with the earth, and because that's what works for me.
Yeah.
Is like, that's how I get back into this, is spending time with nature. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to focus on and try to bring, you know, some focus back.
And I also want to offer, as long as we're PSAing, that everybody's form of getting back into it or kind of reconnecting is going to be different.
Oh, yeah.
Because to me, and this is going to make me a horrible witch again, reconnecting with the earth is not really a big drive.
Well, I don't think that's your element either.
To me, it's people who came before me, good spirits, like mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Also, maybe this is silly, but cooking and working with, I guess this is recommuning with nature, because I really like to think about all the shit that came out of the earth and how it's so easy to fall into this pattern of go to Walmart, pick up some bread, make a sandwich, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Cooking is my, like, other than, like, when I actually meditate, mm. cooking is, like, my meditative time. Yeah. Because I cook almost every day.
Right.
And, oh, God. It, like, helps me process the day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when I do it, you know, is I'll work through the day when I'm making
magic dinner. Happens in the kitchen.
It really does.
It happens. I started all of this as a kitchen witch. That was my label. I knew I was going to be a kitchen witch until I died.
Kitchen witch.
But I started as a kitchen witch. And I remember before I was even out of the broom closet, my husband came up to me and he was like, I don't know what you're doing recently. He's like, but keep doing it because mm-hmm. I have seen such a change.
Yeah.
And then I lost it. It all went away. And I felt like, where did this goodness go?
Uh-huh.
And I felt so sad, but it's coming back. And the thing is, I know it deep down in my heart, it's never going to be gone forever.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, that's something to think about. Sorry.
Whoa.
Was that really loud? Because when I listened back...
Yeah, that sounded like a banshee.
My mouth was closed, so it was ladylike. All right.
You're such a Pam poovie.
I'm absolutely Pam. I am Pam to my bones. I look like her.
You, like, but you sound like her.
I sound like her. I say, more importantly than sounding like her, I say shit she would say.
Oh, my God, do you ever... I, like, really growing
I take pride
up,
in it. I'm...
I learned, like, all of my filthy traffic yelling things from you.
Yes! And you told me that a couple of months ago we were hanging out, and you told me that, and I just swelled with pride.
I'm glad. That's great.
You know what recently kind of ticked me off? I rewatched Prisoner of Azkaban with Dad. I've watched all of them except the second part of the last one. So I still, to this day, I have managed to somehow not know how Harry Potter ends.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm going to go finish it probably this week before somebody ruins it for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Because I read the books re-freaking-ligiously.
But you didn't finish it? Yeah, didn't you stop at 5?
I stopped after I read the 6th book. Because I read the 6th book, I was waiting on the 7th to come out, and Lord of the Rings came on the scene. And then I was a Lord of the Rings girl.
Even thinking about Sam, I'm almost tearing up about it. Like, he is the only way that that Earth got saved.
Yeah.
Or, like, that Middle Earth survives. Oh, I know every word to his monologue in the second movie.
There are pieces of his monologue that I have a plan to tattoo on
your
body. Yeah. Especially the part where it's talking about when the sun shines out, it'll shine out the clearer. Yes.
I have to almost say it from the beginning to remember. So it's like,
just lay it on us.
It's beautiful. And he's just, it's so good. And it always makes me cry.
How does it start?
He's like, it's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really matter. Mm. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was after so much bad happened? But in the end, this is my favorite, in the end it is only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass, and when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. These are the stories that stay with you, that mean something, even if you're too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances to turn back, only they didn't. They kept going. And then he's like, you know, they kept going because they were holding on to something. And he's,
what are we holding on to? What are we holding on to, Sam?
But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for. Oh, my.
There are tears in my eyes.
It's the most powerful thing in the world to me.
I could cry.
It doesn't matter, and I've seen it a million times, and every time I do, I cry.
It's so good.
It's beautiful.
It's so good. Anyway.
All right, so tell me about this whole energy vampires thing. We're going to actually get to the point.
Yes, okay, so getting to the point. We've said energy vampires a lot already, and if you haven't had any kind of interaction with one, which you have, I almost guarantee you, you may not know what this term means. But if you would like a quick little breakdown, I'm going to do a quick little breakdown of what they are, how to deal with them, you know, just kind of get into some chat about it. So your top tier of your energy vampire are going to be your obviously malignant, you know, your narcissists, people who want to prey on your guilt and your insecurities, people who manipulate, just generally emotionally manipulative and toxic people. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times they'll come in the form of like a really bullying, like a boss figure.
God.
Mm-hmm. If they're competing at something and everything is a competition for them, they have to win. And they will do that not only by trying to be the best, but making you the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Very often, these people are very bigoted. Extremely racist, sexist, you know.
I'm hearing people that I know.
I bet that anyone hearing this is picturing a person from their life that they know.
How could you not?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Those are the worst ones, because it's obvious, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's intentional what they're doing. You know, as witches, we say everything is intention. And if your intention is to make somebody else feel like shit so you can feel better.
I have no place for you.
No, absolutely not. And that's one of the biggest ways to deal with somebody on this scale of narcissism, of energy vampire, is to cut them off. Cut the cord. Sometimes they're a parent or they're a boss that you just can't, you don't have that option of just like, I quit and go get a different job.
But man, is it sweet when you do.
Oh my God. Can I tell you the feeling?
Oh, I know it.
Of leaving? I know you know it.
Oh yeah.
But I know there's some sad soul out there who's getting their soul sucked away and they cry in the parking lot.
I promise your day will come. When
it,
you can.
And it'll feel
and it
so
feels
good.
So sweet. Oh, God. It's bliss.
I will daydream about the times I have left situations.
It changes your life. I'm actually going to talk about it today.
Yay.
Yeah, it ties into my
presentation. So we won't go there too much right now. Okay. So another type is kind of like the medium tier. So these are people who may have bad habits or one of the most famous ones we call, like, oh, they're a drama queen. Really into bringing drama, talking about others behind their back. Your melodramatic people, the people who constantly have the victim mentality.
Oh, God.
You know, when you talk to somebody and they're
chronic
just,
victims.
Chronic victims, which
woe
to me...
Woe is me. It's my least favorite person.
It's my least favorite of all of these. I mean, because the top tier, the person with the narcissistic personality disorder, bye, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who's not meaning to do something, I just... Shit, we've all been there. We've all been vampire. But this person who is the constant victim, that is the hardest person. Because it also manipulates you on some level of, you do feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, because they're constantly being that victim.
Yes.
You know, if you feel like, oh shit, well maybe I am really hurting this person. You know, if I can't just cut them off, or knowingly or not, they work with your
it's
guilt.
It's an unconscious bully.
It's a bully.
Yeah.
It's a bully. And also, there's something to be said for somebody who absolutely can't, and we've all been in a tough spot, but somebody who can absolutely not pick themselves up.
Well, here's the deal with that. And this is my opinion, and this might be a little cold, but I think they don't want to pick themselves up. Because when you pick yourself up, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and fix yourself. Or when you're a victim, you can constantly blame it on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much easier to do that. And so much easier to do that than confront the fact that you fucked up.
Yeah. Something and you did fucked up.
That's why they're so exhausting. Mm-hmm. Is because when people are in that state, and you know, you oftentimes can move out of that. It's a state of denial.
Mm-hmm.
But
and that's the thing. Again, I can't stress this enough. We've been there.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about mental illness or anything like that.
No, I think I've been all of these. I have been an aggressive. I've been on the manipulative end of this. I know I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say I haven't.
Right.
Because a lot of the times we're looking out for, number one, ourselves. When I was in high school, I was actually pretty aggressive. I had not wheeled in my ego.
Mm.
And I would do things like that. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I want to say is that a lot of these can be surprising because it could be someone you've known for years, but they're in a different state of their life and they change.
Yeah.
You know? And so it makes it even more challenging because
it is temporary.
It is temporary.
Yeah.
So and you want to help them because you don't want to burn a bridge sometimes,
yeah.
You know? But I don't know. It's just, it's interesting.
And at the same time, you know, you can't. I had a guy who was a boyfriend who became very, very bad over the years about this. And it was just kind of here and there, oh, this is so-and-so's fault, or oh, if somebody would do this thing for me, then I would be able to fix everything else in my life. It just got worse and worse and worse. And it got to the point where it was like I had to make this really hard decision of like, I know who this person is and this is not who they are, but at the same time, they are so draining to the point where it's almost...
They'll make you not who you are.
They'll make you not who you are. And it's almost abuse. I mean, it can be like an emotional abuse.
It is. It is.
And it feels terrible.
Oh, it makes you feel like you have no worth.
Our last tier, and this is what the witchy type was talking about. The people who don't know themselves are an energy vampire, and it's really hard to detect the fact that they are an energy vampire. You may know this person for a long time and not really know why, but after you hang out with them, after you see them, you go home and you're just fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a difference. Like, when me and Macy hang out, I go home, I feel exhausted because we've been recording. It's not that she's doing that, it's that we've been up and doing shit.
Yeah.
However, there are some people that I'll hang out with, and I'll be like, this is a different kind of exhausted. This is bad. And you have to differentiate, like,
you do. Like,
what
the,
made
the
you
exhausted
that way.
I feel after we record is almost like I've left it all on the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I've talked it all out. It's almost like how you feel after a good cry.
It's exactly.
You know, like, you then you just, you feel almost so at peace, you're exhausted.
And there's also such a sense of pride.
I know.
And, like, knowing we got something done.
We stuck with it one more week.
We didn't quit. We are at 78 listeners, just to shove that in there.
And over 300 followers.
And over 300 followers on Instagram. Oh, my God. We have decided we're going to do, just plugging this in there, we're going to do a giveaway when we hit 100 listeners. Anyway, that's all to say that we're not stopping anytime soon. Okay, I want to talk about some of the signs and symptoms of people who may not know what they're doing, or they're not doing it intentionally, and even you may not understand that, oh, this is why I feel shitty after I hang out with this person that I love so much.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
you may feel drained. You may feel like you're being over relied on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a big one, where you just feel like you didn't do enough for this person.
Yeah.
How, oh my God, how could I have changed that for them?
Yeah.
You're doing a good thing and all that, but it's going to take that toll on
you.
It
will.
Mm-hmm. You might feel very distraught about how something you said or something you did made them feel. You know that feeling when it happens to my husband all the time when he's in the shower? I'll hear him in the shower doing his thing, and out of nowhere, I'll just hear him go, shit. And I'm like, are you okay? He's like, oh, I thought of something silly I said to so-and-so, and now I think they're mad at me. You know that feeling?
No.
It's kind of like that to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, you really feel like there was a weirdness after you did a particular thing, mm-hmm. and you just can't get it out of your head. Low self-esteem, you may feel nervous, anxious, generally exhausted. You could even feel a little bit of like a tight chest
or
kind of that panic attacky feeling.
Absolutely.
And a really good word that I've heard to sum up a lot of how I feel after, like that guy I was talking about in massage therapy, who was a great guy, slimy.
I don't have as much of an issue saying no.
Right.
And I think a lot of it comes from when I don't feel something's right. No. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, not going to do it, you know, but I think the people who are affected by this the most are the good people. One of my best friends, I saw her just repeatedly by this friend of hers just get pulled from.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me about all of these things that this girl was doing and I told her, I said, she is a leech.
Mm-hmm.
I said, she is pulling from you. I was like, she is, you have to. And, like, we were talking, and now recently, it was in Shreveport, she said they've cut ties.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's taken 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
but finally, she'd had enough. You know, because some people, it's not a phase. Some people, they are just leeches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's really, and the thing is that this friend of mine is so good to her core, she won't say no.
Right.
She's always going to be there to help. She's always going to, and it just... they're the ones that get pulled from the most because they are batteries.
Exactly.
They're
batteries for other people.
Yeah.
And I think on some level, whether they're anywhere from malignant level all the way to the person who feels like they would never hurt a fly, they know that.
Yeah.
And whether it's because they're malignant and they're going, I got to think of another word besides malignant, and they're going, oh, this person's weak. I can bully them.
It's predatory.
To just like, oh, this person, they're really nice to me. I should have them around more.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think it can go the whole spectrum of conscious to unconscious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, and I've said this before, I think we are more primal than we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
And even people who don't believe in energies, subconsciously they gravitate to the ones that will benefit them the most. You know,
even if that person's not a believer in the energies, you could still look at it as they are latching on to somebody else for their personal gain.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of discrepancy between what people believe and how this energy is taken. But to me, it's the void. If you have this void within you and you're not taking care of yourself and you're not doing the things that you need to fill that void, it's going to be a black hole. It's sucking in everything around it. If you're that bully, you know that there's this void. You can very much feel it.
Yeah.
And you're actively. That's all the difference is, I think, is how much action you're taking. Stepping up and you're going, I know if I kick this person when they're down, I'm going to feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And it gets sucked into that void that I think of it like almost like a little black hole in an energy field. And if it gets sucked in and you just constantly take, if you are hanging out with somebody who is like, I don't know, maybe they're recently out of a relationship and they just can't get their self-esteem back.
Mm.
They're missing, they got that little black hole on their self-esteem.
Mm.
So you might actually start feeling worse about yourself because they're taking that part of you. It's just automatic.
Yes.
With all of the stuff we talk about intention, it's so important to focus on our intention because if we don't, chaos is real.
We have a bit of an energy bubble around us,
mm.
and I think we have to pick it clean.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, it can get
and heal it up.
Yeah, we do. We have to consciously think about it. And when you start to consciously think about it, you notice the difference.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, I've talked about the energy medicine book I have, you know, and doing those exercises really do make you feel revitalized, you know, and I think it's a negative world that we live in.
Unfortunately.
It is. You know, it's just the way that things are right now. And I think
the world is fine. I think it's us that's maybe not so great.
And, you know, I've been on the soapbox about, you know, it a lot. I think it's because we are not doing what we are programmed to do. I think we are hurting our bodies doing what we're doing today. And, you know, and I think that's where a lot of it comes from. You know, it's just this negativity comes from a sense, even if it's subconscious, of discontent, mm-hmm. because things aren't right now.
Right.
You know, we're living infinitely high, at least where, you know, you and I and in the States, above our means. Oh, you know, we are so disconnected. We have lost all of that. And I think our animal bodies are sad by it, mm-hmm. you know?
The level of materialism, and God knows I love a good material.
Oh, yeah.
But the level of materialism is so high that at some point it becomes that thing where you see, like, really rich people being the most depressed, and you're like, how is that possible?
But it is.
Things don't make us happy, you know? Connecting with ourselves and healing ourselves, and, you know, I think our fields get regularly damaged.
Muddy, yeah.
Muddy. I mean, we're soaking up so much bullshit through the day-to-day mm-hmm. that how could it not? It's just going to split at the seams. And for me, what that looks like, with the self-care involved to take care of myself and kind of guard up against that, what that looks like for me is putting in a good amount of time at my altar. Just sitting, I speak almost with my emotions, and I kind of project, you know, and you're just kind of projecting, and you can feel it leaving your body, and I feel, God, I feel it, that somebody is listening.
Good.
Several people are listening, and they love me, and they're there, and they're looking after me, and I feel so much better after that, and I almost view it, and this is so silly, oh my God, this is so silly, please don't judge me, but I view it as my little aura, or energy field, or whatever. It's got a little stitch in it, got a little tear, and I almost think about, like, the, like, my ancestors, like, coming to, like,
sewing it up. I think that's beautiful.
And we're just, like, kind of sitting around, and we're just having, like, some girl talk, you know, and
I love it.
Maybe
that's really lovely.
Silly.
I love it.
But that's what it looks like for me, and it's going to look different for everybody.
How do you handle these unconscious vampires in your life? Like, how have you handled them? You know, what is your method of that?
When I didn't know dick about any of this, I was going through massage therapy school, and then you start coming in contact with these people. But how I would deal with it is I wouldn't for a little while.
Oh.
I wouldn't. I would feel really bad, and I would reflect inward, and I would think how horrible I was for not wanting this client again, or for not wanting to hang out with particular friends, because they were good friends, and these are friends who would do really nice things for me, and I felt so shitty mm-hmm. being like, I don't want to see them, because the way I would feel. So I didn't do shit about it. So when I did finally start to learn how to deal with this, it was from other massage therapists. So I got to where I would do like a
shake off.
Do a shake off, you know, and unfortunately I didn't take the time to concentrate on getting goodness in. I just thought about getting the badness out, and that left that hole. And I think that that's what made it susceptible to more and more of that happening. Mm. I have since learned how to do it. And there's very practical, like, mundane, non-magical ways that you can do.
Okay.
And then there are some witchy ways. And I'm going to start with these mundane things that you can do. And this is very real advice here. The first thing that I can't stress enough, and I have seen this in a very up close and personal way here in the past couple of years of my life, you have to set boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
Set boundaries. And it hurts. And it feels like the hardest thing to do. Because if you're not you just said you can say no.
Yeah.
I'm not that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I can be to a point, you know, I guess. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of ways, I don't want to disappoint or hurt other people.
Right. Which, there's something good about that.
You know, I mean,
it's just,
sure.
It makes life hard.
But you have to set those boundaries.
Absolutely.
Mentally, emotionally healthy people will respect boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, narcissists don't.
No.
They absolutely
don't.
Because
they don't understand why you don't want to be giving your time to them.
They don't understand why they can't have the thing it is that they want.
Yeah.
I get being scared that somebody's going to have a volatile reaction. If they do, you might be dealing with a narcissist.
And that's when you give them the big old, then fuck you.
Bye.
Like, yeah,
bitch.
I've learned.
I'm going to bounce. So yeah, set your boundaries. And more importantly than setting them is fucking stick to your boundaries. Cut cords. Cut the cord completely. If you can afford to. You have to sometimes decide, you know what? This person is not going to be in my life anymore. And that's sad. And I will mourn for that loss. Cause I've mourned many people who are still alive, yes. You know? So you have to kind of go through that. Sticking to light topics is a thing. It's almost like what they call gray rocking.
Yeah.
You try to become as boring and as interesting as a gray rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they
just
have...
Just trying to get them to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the drama, like the melodramatic person.
Yeah.
Don't engage.
Don't encourage it.
When they start up with, oh, did you hear such and such about such and such? Just, so what do you want for dinner?
Yeah.
You know, or, oh man, you know what? I have a headache. Or you stay to very light topics. Mm-hmm. Do not engage with, you know, if they're constantly the victim, you know what I mean?
Yes.
What I like to do with people like that is I talk about happy things. And I feel really bad because I'm doing it very purposefully.
Eat your heart out, you negative ass.
And they're like, you know, something negative. I'm like, oh my gosh, today is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it feels almost really good because it's like you're assaulting them with kindness.
With kindness.
And my last really mundane tip is to get support. Have somebody who you can commiserate with a little bit, or have a forum that you can talk openly and blatantly about. Journaling, even if you're not really...
Journaling's great.
Journaling is wonderful.
And here's the thing. Like, I think... I get caught up in this thought myself, and you get disappointed with yourself. Journaling is not necessarily something you have to stick with. Sometimes you just do it when you need to, mm-hmm. and then that's all... You get it out, you know? Like, I find myself journaling every couple of years... You know, but I don't stick with it often, but I do it when I need it. It gets me through it, and then I move on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, to me, that's a struggle in itself, was like thinking, I'm not a good journaler because I don't do it every day. And it doesn't have to be a sit down and write, dear diary, here's how my day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like those bullet journals, have you seen those?
Yeah.
Those are fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
My counselor had me do something called a worry journal. Which you sit down, you set a timer for 5 minutes, and you just fast scribble. Don't worry about your handwriting.
Mm.
You just scribble all your worries. What if this happens? What if that happens? What would I do if this happens? And then when that timer goes off, you're done. Mm. Turn the page, close it, go do something else. You have 30 minutes or so, go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 30 minutes, go do it again. And then you'll find yourself, when the timer goes off for 30 minutes, you're like, oh shit, it's time to go worry again. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So you move it to an hour.
Interesting.
And then you just kind of bump it out. And that has really helped me. When I've had, like, really kind of scary things go on and I'm very worried, worry journals are my best friend.
Very interesting.
I feel like journaling is an intertwinement of witchiness and mundaneness.
Yeah, it is. That's fair. Yeah.
There's something very, very spiritual and very magical to me about journaling. Especially, like, when we found Grandma's Book of Poetry.
That was very powerful.
Oh, my
that,
God.
Well, not only that, that we each had one and that it had, we've both found, without speaking to each other, the same poem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, on our witchy side over here... If you are hanging out with someone who you've decided that you want to continue to be friends with and hang out with, have a relationship, you need to practice self-care afterwards. Maybe even before. Grounding yourself is huge. I like to take grounding showers where you visualize the water, grabbing onto that fucking grossness and that sliminess, and it's washing it down the drain, and it's going back to the earth, and the earth takes it and makes it into good shit, right? You can also, some people like the practice of, to me, because I play a lot of Skyrim, I want to say warding. Kind of picture yourself, if you can't get away from that boss who's a fucking asshole, when he comes up, picture a big brick wall between the two of you.
Mm.
Or picture yourself in a bubble of candy, you know, that, you know, or, you know, you're on your favorite TV show. Like, mentally picture a way to kind of separate the
detach.
Two of you and to detach. And it becomes so much easier to not engage with this person. This person comes over and they're screaming at you, they're yelling at you, or just generally draining you. And you go, wait, you know what? Candy exists. I'm going to think about that. You know what I mean? Think about, put yourself in that bubble. There are two ways of looking at this. You can look at this on the very witchy way of you are manipulating that energy around you and you are making it harder for yourself to absorb their bullshit and you're making it harder for them to steal your goodness. Mm-hmm. But also it can be like a completely psychosomatic thing. And I do think it can be both. It can be just a way to detach from the situation.
Yeah.
Crystals. Got to talk about crystals.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my my smoky quartz, which is good for absorbing negativity.
And it is the smokiest quartz I've ever seen. It is. It's essentially just
it's
black.
It's goddamn near black. It is a beast. Kyler Jewelry, shout out. A really good one is Adventurine. Adventurine?
I don't know.
I think it's Adventurine.
It's in the ballpark.
We're amateurs. And black tourmaline.
I'm the energy vampire to my stones. I know they work hard. God.
I know. I've had the thought before, like, these crystals are not big enough for my bullshit.
I know. Yeah. Absolutely.
I need one of those amethysts that's essentially a fucking person.
Wall? Yeah. just sit in front of me like, fix me.
I need two of them so I can close them around myself.
Just sandwich?
Just sandwich me and be like, claim me. Energy vampires suck, I guess, is the...
Punny!
And we've all been one before.
Yeah.
And it's hard to admit to yourself when you are. But you know what? When you recognize it... Stop and move on.
I think, and this is like many things, recognition is the first step of improvement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whether you're recognizing it in yourself.
Or if someone tells you, and sometimes that's what it takes. You know, sometimes that's the wake-up call you need is someone to say, you are, like, you're draining.
Yeah.
You know, you got to listen to that. You know?
Another thing is when somebody tells you about another person. It'll happen a lot of times in abusive relationships when somebody's like, hey, listen, I used to date the guy you're seeing or the girl you're seeing, and listen, they're no good.
Red flag. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If someone says, like, run now because they're going to suck your soul out.
I feel like society, like, it's so easy to, we want to be like, they're jealous of what we have.
Yeah.
And, oh, they're just, look at them. They're so sad that they don't have you anymore. And you know what? You're in that love bombing phase and you can't see the forest for the trees. But if somebody has, and they're being sincere, said, you need to watch out for this person.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take a second to really think about that.
Absolutely.
Macy, I did ask you at the top of the app if your red calcite did anything to help guard against energy vampires.
It sure do. It's
what if you just said yes and we ended the episode?
Yes.
Yes.
It actually is a really interesting stone, and it's a very happy stone. And like I said, it really came to me when I needed it. But I didn't know that I needed it.
Very rarely do we know what we're calling for.
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes, and my favorite thing to say, because it's true, you need to shut up and listen.
Eh?
It really. And so this, I got this stone, the very first Witchy Bazaar, from Kyler Jewelry. You know, we've said many times that everything she does is a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And this one was hanging there, and it was not the biggest stone, and it's not super colorful. It's like a rosy color, and not the most eye-catching one, but for some reason... It was the one, you know, and pulled it out. And when I put it on, it fell exactly in the hollow, like, of my sternum. And I was just like, ugh. I've gained more stones now, but it's the one that I still wear about 60% of the time. And I wear it with intention a lot of the time, especially, like, you know, say, for instance, if you leave work and you know that you left a bit of a task behind that you know tomorrow is going to have to be finished and it's going to take a lot of focus. That's when I'll wear this stone, because it's got a lot of purposes, but they all kind of target towards the same things. But first, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the stone. So it's found on, like, every continent.
Interesting.
It's everywhere. Yeah. So red calcite is everywhere, and it comes in a lot of different shades of red. Mine is a very pale shade, and I really love it. It almost looks like a Himalayan salt lamp.
It does, and... We also, for a little bit, thought it was rose quartz.
We did, yeah, because it's just this really beautiful...
Beautiful pink.
Beautiful color. I love it. And the core is, like, deep, but it's, like, faded still. It's great. And its name is derived from, and I'm going to spell this or say this wrong, but, like, Chalix, 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 C-H-A-L-I-X. It's the Greek word for lime. Mm. You know, so it's kind of my assumption was like a limestone type, you know, which is why it's so creamy kind of thick, you know. It's one of the most common minerals. However, it's really abundant and a lot of the quality is best from Mexico. I didn't really know what the usage was or anything when I got it. That's something that, you know, after I got home, you know, and settled in and slept, I researched it, you know, to see kind of what it was. But I didn't research it heavily. I really didn't. Like, I kind of saw a few things and moved on. It was really only as of a few weeks ago that I looked this up, which is interesting because so much has changed since then. When I got this stone, I was in a really dark place because that was when I was still at my job that had me have daily mental breakdowns. I was also on the mend of having copper poisoning, which really psychologically fucked me up. So I was a mess. And I gravitated to the stone. And so it's kind of an interesting thing because it's not like I had the confirmation bias of being like, well, that's what this stone helps. I didn't really know, you know. Mm-hmm. I just knew that it helped a few things. And one of those was focus. But it's also highly grounding. It's a good grounding stone. It can clear, and you know me, Charlie, it can help clear and focus a spacey mind.
Oh.
That's like one of its main uses, which for me is just paramount to my existence because I'm so scatterbrained. You've been with me to the grocery store.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
You have two modes when it comes to that. You are either focused and targeted and you are like a little military woman going in, or you are just to the wind.
It's horrible.
Just
like walking loop-de-loops, pretty much. It's not efficient. See,
which is my favorite Macy, by the way.
It's just a mess. It balances and increases energy, but it also combats restlessness and safeguards your emotional boundaries. So, yeah. Oh. And so it kind of helps kind of keep your levels intact and your things that you need to maintain in a good state of mind. It just kind of keeps that humming, you know, which I think is really interesting. It's said to be good for women due to its ability to help regulate and balance hormones.
Okay.
And preparing for pregnancy and childbirth, which I thought was interesting. That
nice.
Was something that I didn't
know.
But yeah, that's something that historically has been tied to it. This is the one that was very interesting. And these aren't really in a particular order. This was just several things that I'd researched. Helps prevent overextension, particularly against those who don't deserve your energies, a.k.a. evil bosses and energy vampires.
Dude!
Yeah, so it really is, it's good for that. You know, it kind of, the way that I picture it is that it's kind of like your shield absorbing, like maybe you get 25% and it gets 70.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes some of that for you.
It's your armor.
It can restore motivation and accelerate your development. And I put something in here about why I think it's so interesting at the time. Kind of like I sat and reflected about all of this, you know, when I was doing this research and things that I thought of that down the road did change. And things that have come since this stone came into my life. And I think part of that, you know, I'm going to touch on that again. It clears old energy patterns and inspires motivation. Well, think about that. You know, that was, my energy patterns were a mess. I was at that job and I was having to try to take baths and meditate like almost 4 times a week just to stay sane because I hated it so much and I was miserable. And right after that, or like right towards the end of that, I had decided to quit. I'd also said, we need to start this podcast.
Yeah.
And you know, it just shifted my motivation entirely, you know, to do something creative. And it inspires this confidence when you've been beaten down. And in that situation, I had been not only with the job, but with the copper poisoning, you know. And
absolutely.
So it's just, it helps pick you back up, you know. And these
That's insane to me. I'm sorry you're saying it. This is the first time I'm hearing about the properties of the calcite. But just knowing what you were going through and then to just, like, hear all of these things. It's crazy to hear just how, like, on the ass this is.
They sync up and it has changed since I've gotten it.
Jeez.
It's really interesting. It actually, and you know, I'm a fan and I'm going to touch on this, and this is a little conspiracy theory, but well, not like crazy, but to me, it's my own theory. It activates the root chakra and is, you know, I've already said it's highly grounding. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've said before, your root chakra is essentially your essence. And I've noticed the past few months, and this is going to sound silly, I've always had a case of dysmorphia. You know, I'm a very small person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always seen myself as almost like husky.
Really?
And yeah, and I can't see myself any other way. Hmm. And it's really bizarre, and I've always had a problem with it. And I've always been really neurotic about things because of it. And just, like, the past few months, it's like something has peeled back. And I'm seeing myself for the first time. Acceptance of my actual image
right.
is there. That's and it's so never cool. been before. And every day is actually really exciting because I'm just like, this is so weird.
That
I'm
is
like,
so cool.
And it's, I don't know, and it could just be a coincidence, and, you know, I'm at a job that I like now, and I'm happier, you know, but this has been my whole life. Like, you know, I started eating healthy and exercising when I was in, like, seventh grade.
Oh.
So it started early, this neuroticism, I think that's a word, like, or, like, neuroses, and I know that's common, you know, and it's just, I think it's really interesting that it's, I really sat, and this was before I started studying this, but I had this thought myself, like, it was actually right before Shreveport. Before I researched this, I just feel like I am able to see myself for the first time. And then I read this, and I was like, that's very interesting.
You had said something, it was very kind of in passing, but you had said something about, like, seeing yourself more realistically or
yeah.
more truthfully or something like that. And I didn't really completely understand what you mean, because it's hard to look to, it's hard to know somebody who's going through that.
And I've always been, I've never had a problem with confidence.
Right.
Ever. And that's what makes it such a weird marriage. And I see myself still as healthy,
uh-huh.
but I see myself as being like 5 inches taller and like squared up, like broad. I don't even know how to explain it because I know that I'm
Brianna Tarth.
Yes.
Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's like what, and I've always, yes. And it's, I know that's strange. Recently, I finally stopped. And I think that's really interesting. But yeah, thank you. That's the nail on the head. That's exactly what I was trying to compare it to. You know, because I'm confident. It's just, I feel like I might be a giant.
You and Chandler likes to hold small things because he feels like a giant.
Oh, good. But the last thing is that, you know, it provides clarity in looking at situations and clarity that pushes you towards new ideas and paths, which is exactly what happens because, mm-hmm. and that was the night that I asked the runes for the first time, should I leave this job?
And like, they said, fuck yes.
Yes, leave. And, you know, like, go away, go away. And they also said patience. And it took me, like, it took me another 2 months to find a job. And I was so stressed. And that was, you know, eventually I just quit and then almost immediately found a job. But I mean, at the end, you know, after reflecting, I think it's so interesting because when I found this stone and, you know, we were getting into all of this, but I was still kind of a hull, a husk at that point. You know, I feel like my light was not there and I wasn't reading. I wasn't drawing. I hadn't painted in forever. I wasn't crafting. Yeah, I didn't have it. Following, you know, purchasing this stone, this podcast happened, books re-entered. I read regularly again. You know, I've started painting and it just came and it hasn't really stopped. And like now when I put it on, it feels like an old friend, you know, and I know you know what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About. And it's just, it's, I get this just confidence and just this clarity. I put it on, I'm like, all right, let's do this day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whistle while I work,
yeah.
you know, and it really does, I think.
It's fucking cool.
Make a difference. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I kind of thought this crystal stuff was a bunch of hooey bullshit. Until I really sat and reflected on this and put together all that it's done and all that's happened since I've gotten it. And I haven't even been actively really trying to make it happen. It just has. Mm. It's interesting to me, mm-hmm. you know. And I feel deeply connected to it. And it actually, I lost it for like a week. And I was so sick to my stomach. I felt like I had lost a friend. Like I really, really was. And so, I mean, it's, I'm definitely connected to it and not just on a material level. Mm. I think it's part of my arsenal now. You know, I've done the same with my amethyst, you know, which amethyst, my whole, like growing up has always been my favorite stone. Even when I was little, amethyst was always my favorite. And I wrapped it with just twine and I'll wear it on days that I need it, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll talk about amethyst on an episode and talk about, you know, what it's for, but I just tie it around whenever I need it. And so I like all of my stones to be wearable, even if it's a crude, just straw twine wrap and tie around the neck. You know, I feel like I get to get more out of them that way and mm-hmm. take them with me. They kind of get to see the world and get some energies from
that's
the world.
That's how I feel. You're taking them on a little car ride.
On a road trip.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've been stuck in the ground for longer than we can comprehend, you know? Let them see the world.
Well, and like we said earlier, they have to deal with our bullshit all the time.
Yeah. Honestly, the people who surround us bullshit. Yeah. Because they're not like lap dogs trained just to us. Mm-hmm. You know, when people say things like, oh, I own this stone, I'm like, no, bitch, it owns you for right now.
Like,
and then you're going to go away and it's going to be somebody else's, you know?
Even when it's not a full or a new moon, or I'll just put them out on the porch sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just to let them visit.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit them all outside together, like in a little, mm-hmm. little group, and let them kind of pull from each other and talk to each other. And
I do feel like they kind of really balance each other out. They find that stasis when they're hanging out with each other.
I do think so, yeah.
You know?
I think we're kind of on a little bit of a journey together. And I don't think it's done with me yet. I'm still called to wear it mm-hmm. regularly. And I think that's telling. This is going to be a good length of an episode. I think we might hit like over an hour.
And I feel like
we're due for a longer episode at this point.
Huge, huge, huge thank you to the Witchy Type on Instagram. That's @the_witchy_type. You know, we would love to do more of these listener suggestions. She suggested the energy vampires, which was great. It's actually something I needed to talk about recently.
Yeah, you know, get it out.
I've been thinking a lot about it and feeling it, and it was so good to sit down and really kind of do this, learn some techniques to help protect myself. I've been feeling it lately. If you would like to drop us a line, give us a suggestion, tell us you love us, tell us you hate us, send us an email. We got an email, Macy.
Oh my God, how did we not talk about the email?
You know what? We got an email from a guy who, it was just such a sweet and heartfelt.
It really made me feel good.
It was great. And if you're out there and you're listening, you know who you are. I didn't get any kind of okay from him to talk about it or to say
yeah,
his name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was an email that was a little more personal than like a comment that you can see, everyone can see. You know, if you leave mm-hmm. a comment, I'm gonna kind of assume that we can talk about it. Long story short, his email was extremely touching, and you know, he finds us very warm and inviting, which is nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that he has very recently entered the world of all this kind of stuff, and he's kind of said he's having a hard time finding his place in it.
Yeah.
You know, especially being a guy.
A guy, you know, and that's what he said. Mm-hmm. And not only that, being a victim to a skeptical mind, you know, and that's something that I deal with, you know, and there's a lot, like, it's even with the crystals, like, until really, because I am a fan of data, mm-hmm. you know, and until I had a little bit of data on my own to reflect upon, part of me thought maybe this is just for collecting and a lot of this is just mm-hmm. like bullshit.
I thought of it almost like people who wanted to escape from their world, so they decided they were going to kind of live this fantasy life.
You know,
and then you get into it and you're like, this is very real.
It is real.
And it's not only changed the way that these people live, but it's changed very much my life.
It has, yeah, and I'm going to give it the respect that it's due.
Exactly,
now. Yeah,
exactly. Another thing he said is that his wife has had a lot of experience with this kind of stuff, especially with like the more kind of spoopy, paranormal kind of stuff. And she was the one that he really looked at stuff she had been through and her experiences, and it just sounded like he really like respected her story,
which is great.
Yeah. And you know, she encouraged him to write out to us. So I just want to say hello. You know who you are. We may have cried a little bit, or I may have gotten a little teary eyed at it. Thank you very much. So if you would like to email us, we are at wbahpodcast@gmail.com. You can get us on Facebook @WitchAmateurHour, Twitter @BitchHour, or Instagram @WitchBitchAmateurHour.
Also, very important to note, please review us. And I know that you constantly are like bombarded by things like Amazon, whatever.
Subscribe, reviews. Hit that notification bell.
There is a reason for it, and it really helps search rankings. Mm-hmm. So it'll, you know, help more people find the podcast. And if you like us and think that we're at least moderately helpful, that's more people to kind of be getting into this stuff.
Right.
It can just be 5 stars. You don't even have to It can be just leave us 5 stars, nothing else. But no, it can just be stars. It doesn't have to be text. I'd love it if it was. We both would. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But anything like that really helps.
It takes me back to something that Wendy from RDO Artisanals said today. She said she was listening to us as the sun came up, and you know, it was wonderful. But she said that we were doing our part to hashtag spread the good. And I didn't think of it in that way. I just thought we were just kind of getting together and bullshitting. And we are, very much, are getting together and bullshitting. But hearing from people who said that we've actually fucking helped a little bit,
that makes me so happy.
It's insane. It is insane. So, okay, well, I guess that wraps it up for this episode. We've had a blast.
This has been a good one.
We will see you next Wednesday. We will see you on a very special Sabbat episode for Lammas coming up. And I'm excited about this one because anytime we can combine wheat and honey and cooking and food and celebration and drink,
oh yeah,
I'm about it. All right, so for this week, this has been the Witch
Bitch.
Amateur.
Ow.
I gotta tell you something.
Yeah.
If I anywhere in this room while we're recording see a scorpion, I'm gonna take you out.